Oh dear. Sorry about that. I told you not to buy that Volkswagen, Stanley. Welcome to I'm a Public Health Professional, get me out of here, and yes, VW Gate will just not go away. This week, the beleaguered car company admitted that it was to recall 2,000 cars in China, and more worrying, that it also appears that cars being manufactured for next year's market contain more suspect engineering that could potentially help the cars run cleaner when subject to government tests. Volkswagen did confirm to the Associated Press on Tuesday that the auxiliary emissions control device that issue operates differently from the defeat software included in the company's 2009 to 2015 models, which was very nice of them, wasn't it? Of course, a conspiracy theory might now think that as technology has moved on a pace since 2009, the new device should be even more state-of-the-art and potentially even more sneaky in its operation. And of course, if it does prove to be a deliberate attempt to fool emissions test, then the story put out by VW executives that it was all down to a rogue software developer holds as much water as a sieve. Interesting times, particularly as new test results doing the rounds on the internet show that dozens of diesel cars from multiple manufacturers fail to meet specified European emissions targets. Vehicles from Renault, Nissan, Hyundai, Citroen, Fiat, Volvo and Jeep are all tested in real-world conditions, and all of them found severely wanting. The average Mercedes-Benz produced at least 2.2 times more NO2 than the official Euro 5 level, and 5 times more than the ecological Euro 6 emission standards allows. Similar story for Honda, where their diesels emitted 2.6 times and 6 times more NO2 than allowed. The other question, of course, is how long has this all been going on? As it appears, experts have been aware for some time that despite the new European driving test standard getting more stringent, the actual reductions in nitrogen dioxide measured in real-world tests has stayed the same. A fact that was evidently pointed out as long ago as 2006. Chief Medical Officer for Wales, Ruth Hussey, has called for spending on environmental health to be protected in her annual report. She said EHPs provided an essential service that delivered wider savings by keeping people out of hospital. She pointed at figures that showed there had been a 4.3% cut in budget since 2011, leading to a 16.4% staff cut. Julie Barrett, Director of CIH Wales, said, "What this report is saying is that we need to be protected from cuts. We're at the bone now. There's nothing left to cut except staff who have the experience and knowledge." Don't I know it. The number of people reporting illness from Campylobacter has remained at almost exactly the same level over the past year as poultry retailers and producers invest to combat the bacteria. Latest Public Health England statistics show that there have been nearly 46,500 infections so far this year, a negligible change over the same period last year. Continuing high rate of infection suggests efforts by the poultry industry to cut back on Campylobacter contamination is not yet translating into public health benefits. On the subject of stats, there are now more cases of Lyme disease in the UK than ever before. The tick-borne infection, which can cause paralysis in severe cases, has seen a fourfold increase in cases over the past 12 years. There were 1,112 diagnosed in 2013, the latest figure that figures are available for. Part of the reason for the problems of the illness gaining more attention in recent months has been some high-profile cases, including Phones for You's founder John Cole Coldwell and the High School Musical star Selena Gomez. A study carried out in September found ticks which could potentially carry the bacteria that causes the disease in Richmond Park and Bushey Park in South London. The The annual workplace survey by the Chartered Institute of Personnel and Development and Simply Health has found that 31% of employers report an increase in employees coming to work when they're ill. So-called presenteeism is more prominent in an environment where working long hours is seen as the norm. The survey also suggests that employers that have seen an increase are more likely to see greater rates of stress-related absence. Problems particularly acute in the public sector, where services are being stretched by austerity cuts. Having said, there's been little change in total levels of staff absence, with employees in the private sector taking an average 6.9 days a year compared to 8.7 days in the public sector. The Town and Country Planning Association aren't happy with the government's new proposals to give automatic outline planning permission for housing developments on brownfield sites. And they aren't the only ones. The Federation of Master Builders are getting cold feet over who's going to fit the bill for the clean-up of the most heavily contaminated sites. It's unlikely to be much help to come from DEFRA after figures revealed that the department's Contaminated Land Capital Grant Scheme, which authorities use for clean-up costs, is now down to a mere £500,000 a year compared to 30.7 million which was offered between 2011 and 2015. Cuts to staffing mean few local authorities are now proactively looking for contaminated sites, making the government's proposals to impose the keeping of brownfield registers, which they incidentally did away with a few years ago, even more mystical. Finally, with Halloween around the corner, who fancies a caramel coated apple? Yes, could never quite see the connection personally, but hey, never let common sense get in the way of a good story. Well, not a good story really if you're expecting an autumn windfall. From sales, as a study by the University of Wisconsin-Madison's Food Research Institute found that the sticks poked into caramel apples release enough juice for the bacteria Listeria to grow. Neither caramel nor apples are foods where Listeria would normally grow, according to researchers. Caramel doesn't contain enough free water, and apples are too acidic, they said. However, an outbreak of Listeria last winter that killed 7 people and made up to 35 ill was linked to a supply of caramel apples. The researchers wanted an explanation, so they studied Listeria growth on a group of Granny Smiths dipped in caramel. Half of the apples were shoved with sticks and the other half weren't. The study's authors found there was no Listeria growth on the apples without sticks. In contrast, refrigerated apples with sticks had a growth of Listeria, and the apples with sticks stored at room temperature had significant growth of the bacteria after 3 days. The researchers said the juice released by the sticks between the apple and the caramel provided an environment where Listeria flourishes. They're also quick to stress that the same may not apply to toffee apples, which are evidently completely different to a caramel apple, but still, I'd be careful with that stick. Finally on this episode, we pay tribute to Jack White from Southampton, because while we've been recording this, he's been listening to this. Once, but 2,500 times to raise money for diabetes research. If it's all the same with you, Jack, I think once is enough for us. See you in a fortnight. We're no strangers to love. You know the rules, and so do I. I feel commitments while I'm thinking of. You wouldn't get this from any other guy. I'm a public health professional, Gemi Adif here, who's written, presented and produced by Pete Hill. Any comments made are purely personal and do not relate to any other body. This podcast is protected by a Creative Commons license. Any unauthorised reproduction for commercial gain is strictly prohibited.